Good afternoon, fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of Liberty State, Spokane Valley, brought to you once again by the Committee to Elect Matt Shea, Republican, and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story in the news. Behind the news, it's not about right or left. It is about right and wrong, about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer, but moving to action as well. About Luke 17, 20 through 21, which says, "Now having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed. Nor will they say, look, here it is or there it is, for behold, the kingdom of God is inside you or in your midst,' in some translations." This is kind of an important summer right now. A lot of stuff going on. Not only in the world, but really behind the scenes. And it looks like war really is ramping up in the Middle East. And it looks like there's a lot of folks that are also starting to wake up to this scourge of socialism that is plaguing many countries around the world, but the United States especially. And I still see supposed Christians who try to say that socialism is Christian, or that Jesus was a socialist. So let's hit that right on the head right now. I'm a little appalled that people would even... And again, this is... Let me preface this by saying that this is endemic of what is happening today, because what you have are people that do not read the Bible. They read what somebody else says about the Bible. They read snippets of it, but they don't actually read the Bible or read the primary source documents or get the historical context about how things played out in certain time periods, both in the history of Israel and the history of the United States, for that matter. And so you get these folks who shoehorn in this social justice gospel, if you will. And Jesus was not a social justice warrior. Jesus is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. There is no diminishing him, putting him in a box. And that's what these folks are really kind of attempting to do. And they will cite things like, well, all of the disciples sold their stuff and they lived communal. They had to. They were being persecuted. Jesus didn't eliminate the law. He came to fulfill the law. That means the Ten Commandments were still good. Okay? And there's an important part about this. First of all, in the Ten Commandments, it talks about worshiping the Lord our God alone. So if you put the state in God's place, you are violating that commandment. It also says that you shall not lie. And what I've found with social justice warriors, again, as Vox Day says, social justice warriors always lie. They always double down on the lie, and they always project. Obviously, Jesus Christ did not do that. Jesus Christ himself said he came to testify to the truth. He came into the world to testify to the truth. So, social justice violates that as well. But then you have some interesting things. People miss this. Thou shalt not steal actually establishes a right of property. Because You can't steal from somebody that doesn't own it, okay? And these social justice warriors steal from one taxpayer and will give it to another because they deem it the better way that that money should be spent. They will take from one taxpayer and use it to kill unborn children. They will take it from one taxpayer and use it to promote Marxism. They will take it from one taxpayer and use it to promote immorality. And so, The idea of thou shalt not steal, and again, going to chapter 2 of the Communist Manifesto, Karl Marx was very, very clear about this. Abolition of private property was the goal of socialism and communism. That's what they want to do. That is not godly. That is not biblical. That is sin. It is in direct violation of the Ten Commandments. And he also, Karl Marx in chapter 2 of the Communist Manifesto, said that the goal was to abolish eternal truths, to abolish morality and religion. And the reason that they have to abolish morality is so that they make folks so dumbed down and so completely debased that they're easier to control. That's the whole point of doing that. That's why Karl Marx advocated for it, because people that have no morality are easier to control. And it's so fascinating to me because, you'll have these, they call themselves libertarians. Some of them call themselves libertarian. They really aren't libertarian because they don't understand what that even means. What they will do is they will advocate for total immorality. They will advocate for a system that is man-centered, not God-centered. And that makes them easier to control. Now, they would absolutely resent and get very upset that that was said about them, but that's very true. And they're not, if you're not educated enough and you're not reasoned enough to understand that, then you get lost. There has to be a grounding. You have to have some moral standards in a society. In fact, all laws are based on morality, and it's just a question of whose morality and whose worldview. It's an expression of that worldview, an expression of that morality. All laws are. Thou shalt not kill. In the correct translation, thou shalt not murder or kill an innocent human being. So the idea then that Jesus was some kind of a social justice worker can't hold true, because thou shalt not steal is violated. And even more interesting is thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's stuff. That's violated as well. In fact, Winston Churchill famously said it really is the politics of envy. And it's true, it is. It is about envy. It is about, oh, hey, they have that, I don't, I need that, and I deserve to get it from them. I didn't earn it, but I deserve to get it from them. And usually, the force of government is used to get that and bring it back. Now, this has all kinds of expressions, okay? And it will be couched in all kinds of rationalization of why stealing from somebody else to give to another person is the right thing to do. But it's still wrong, and it's still sin, and it's still in violation of God's standard. And so this whole thing about Jesus being a social justice warrior not only is not true, it's a heresy. God very clearly delineated in Scripture that people were supposed to earn their bread. It means they had to work. And it wasn't, they had to work and then, well, if you didn't work hard enough, you'd still get, no. It was you had to earn your bread. You had to earn to provide for your family. I mean, if you go back in history and look at how civilization lived from 1,000 years before Christ to now, and then particularly in the Dark Age, I mean, this would be, people would laugh you out of the building for trying to say that Jesus was a social justice warrior, believed in socialism. It's just not true, because it's based on evil. Karl Marx was evil. His writings were evil. His poetry, you can go read it. He believed he was going to hell because he was resisting God. He actually wrote it in one of his poems. You can go read the stuff. So this whole idea out there, we need to squash that quickly, because socialism actually is one of the in this entire system of atheist communism, atheist socialism, is the greatest killer as far as the system is concerned, is responsible for the greatest amount of deaths in history, world history, in the tens of millions. And so if somebody is advocating for a system that has a propensity to bring about mass murder, they're wrong. And we should be against that. And we should say very boldly, they are wrong. Oh, but what about the Crusade? Look, if you could take the Crusade, the Inquisition, you could take all that, it doesn't even come anywhere remotely close to the deaths under communism, especially under three people, Mao Zedong, Joseph Stalin, and Pol Pot. Just take those three. Unreal. We're even having this argument, they got their socialism wrong? Well, we're going to get to what the end result of socialism is when people are just absolutely struggling to survive. But I want you to think about that as a Christian. Christianity is what gave rise to free markets, which is what gave rise to the most prosperity for the most people in the history of the world. And oh, by the way, that prosperity was used, by and large, to fund charity, to fund mission trips overseas, and to help the most impoverished. Those are the facts. And that brings us now to your daily intelligence briefing on the international front. As we talked about this last week, China, their defense ministry, confirmed a test firing of a new submarine-launched missile system that could range the United States. It's a JL-3 submarine-launched ballistic missile. They did confirm that. This coming to us from the Free Beacon. And again, this is part of their plan to build up a blue water navy to project power into the rest of the world. And power for them means taking over the China Sea and expanding power even beyond that, the Straits of Malacca, and their maps, and by their own admission, expanding even further than that down toward Australia. So they're working their plan. Also on the international front, Venezuela. This coming to us from the New American. The poison of socialism, claims another victim. This title of the article. In the prisons of Venezuela, the shortage of food has become so acute that inmates have resorted to cannibalism. Juan Carlos Herrera told reporters in 2016 his son and two others were taken by 40 people, stabbed, hanged to bleed. In other words, bleed out so they could eat them, and then butchered to feed all the detainees. So this guy's son and two others were taken by 40 people, and that's what happened. Now, Venezuela has been oil rich since the 1920s, actually. And during World War II, the Allied forces actually drew the bulk of their oil supplies from Venezuela, according to the article. And I mean, this is great history stuff. But as soon as the socialists took over, price controls were implemented, massive regulation, redistribution, read stealing of wealth. Then you have what ostensibly should be a very prosperous country descending into cannibalism. And the parallels with America are startling, actually. All right. On the Russia front, still no more word on what this submarine incident was, so we'll just keep our eyes on that. In Israel, this is coming from Debka File, the Israelis claiming that five armed Iranian boats attempted early Thursday to seize a British oil tanker in the Gulf. And they were backed off when its escort, the British Navy ship Montrose, trained its guns on the boats and gave a verbal warning. Now, the Iranians, of course, are trying to deny that they wanted to seize the tanker. But things getting extremely tense in that part of the world. And there was a fear that this was in reprisal for the British Marines' seizure of an Iranian tanker bound for Syria at Gibraltar earlier this month. In addition, also from Debka File, Iran, according to Debka File, is setting up near a town called Abu Kamal, which is near the Iraqi border, and this is in Syria, and they're setting up their headquarters there for attacks on U.S. forces in eastern Syria and targets inside Israel as part of the U.S. sanctions on Iranian oil sales. Let me just go through what Debka says here. Abu Kamal presently houses, in addition to Syrian and Iranian forces, five Shiite militias in the service of the Islamic Republic. They're led by the Lebanese Hezbollah. And you have, again, kind of the makings for conflagration, and it looks increasingly likely that there will be some sort of a war by the end of this year in the Middle East. All right. Also on the international front in Mali, 100 Christians plus burned alive. An entire village was surrounded by Islamic militants who burned them to death. Only a few men actually escaped. So please, again, pray for our brothers and sisters overseas. And we're not hearing anything about this in the mainstream media. Just keep them in your prayers. All right, on the national front, this is a good news story, finally. The BLM, Bureau of Land Management, has lifted its Alaska land withdrawals, opening up 1.3 million acres of federal land in Alaska. And, I mean, this is stunning. You know, this was land that would have been locked up. And now it can be used to make people's lives better. Both areas that they're talking about are known for mineral production. So this is, again, part of us being self-sufficient as the United States, not only from a geostrategic perspective, but also from a prosperity perspective, a free market perspective. So the state of Alaska is entitled to 104.5 million acres from the federal government under the Alaska Statehood Act. But they've only received to date 99.3 million acres. So the BLM in Alaska, even though Alaska covers about 365 million acres, the BLM manages about 70 million of those acres. So this is it's a step forward. Not huge, but a step forward. So it's coming to us from Anchorage Daily News. And just kind of wonder if our good friend Rick Rydell didn't have anything to do with that. God bless Rick. I hope he's doing all right. Okay, also on the national front, a great article from Understanding the Threat, the foremost intelligence organization, intelligence gathering organization, on the Islamic threat in America. And very, very good article here about the infiltration of the FBI, and it's you have to read it. It is so stunning, and he's got all the primary source documents laid out in this thing. But you have members of the Muslim Brotherhood, and you just have influence all the way to the highest levels of the FBI, and you're talking about the counterterrorism portion of the FBI. So let me give you an example out of this. The daughter of a Muslim Brotherhood leader in the Washington, D.C. area, Rizwan Jaka, is working as an intern at the FBI's Washington field office in the counterterrorism division. I mean, again, the highest levels. So take a look at this article. I'm going to make sure I get it posted up here, too. It just never ceases really to amaze me, but we'll about what's happening, but we will just keep our eyes on this and educate your friends and families. Get them to wake up. My goodness. All right, also on the national front, Antifa, Redneck Revolt, the John Brown Gun Club, Socialist Rifle Association, which has a chapter here in Spokane, by the way, that posted online the Soviet national anthem from 1984. If you don't really believe they're communists, they're actually admitting it. These folks are trying to create a gun culture in the left. Redneck Revolt on their national website actually says that their goal is a complete restructuring of society. They advocate revolution. A lot of people don't know that they have their own maps of their organizations in America. So this idea that the media keeps covering for them, like Jefferson Robbins of iFiber One, who I asked four times a very simple question: will you denounce violence from groups like Antifa? It's on camera, you can watch it. And he refused to denounce political violence. It is amazing, actually. He refused to denounce it. And he wasn't used to that, I don't think, that I answered his question and then immediately turned it back on him, because you're seeing this downplaying of this Marxist violence in America, and there is a coordinated nonviolent and violent action in America that is occurring. It's part of the Maoist insurgency model. You can look it up. Thomas A. Marx has outlined it. And they are moving forward according to this, and they're recruiting at very young ages as well. So my guest today is actually going to talk a little bit about that recruitment and his own personal story with it. All right, also on the national front, Trump is set to defund Planned Parenthood, $60 million, going to move forward with that. That's great news, actually. Then you got some more anti-Christian, I don't even know what to call it, but the first one, this coming to us, and Palm Beach Post, okay, has a Spanish River High's principal refuses to call the Holocaust a fact. So it's interesting that in the legislature, I introduced a resolution that just recognized the 70th anniversary of Israel's creation. I introduced some anti-BDS or boycott, divest, sanctions legislation. And it was the Democrat speaker of the House of Representatives in Washington State who refused to bring the resolution to the floor. They refused to do it. They refused to help move forward the BDS, the anti-BDS legislation. Refused to do this stuff. And now we're seeing this coming down. Now you have some folks apparently on the left that don't believe the Holocaust happened. Well, thank God there are a lot of pictures of it. And by the way, the Southern Poverty Law Center actually says that that is anti-Semitism. So I guess they're confused with their own stuff. I don't know. All right. In addition, Laura Loomer. I talked to Laura Loomer a while back, and just absolutely tenacious activist and journalist. She is suing Facebook now for alleging defamation and malicious actions that have harmed her and her reputation. $3 billion with a B as punishment of the company. The lawsuit was announced by Larry Klayman, former federal prosecutor. So Laura Loomer fights back. They're not going to make her go silently into the good night. Also on the national front, a Minnesota city decided, this is the city council of St. Louis Park, it's a Minneapolis suburb, this is coming to us from WorldNet Daily, decided to stop reciting the Pledge of Allegiance at the start of the meetings. And here's why. You ready? In an effort to serve a more diverse community. The whole point behind having a country is that we all agree on the contract, the Constitution. We all agree that we are a country. And now what you are seeing is intentional division away from what we believe and the undermining of what we believe. Straight up Marxism. Also coming to us from WorldNet Daily on the national front, there's all this push now for plastic straws, this eco-friendly, to get away from the use of plastic straws and go to paper straws and other things. So there was a lady in Broadstone, England, who was killed at her home November 22nd when she fell, and the 10-inch stainless steel straw entered her left eye socket and pierced her brain. I don't ever recall a plastic straw killing somebody. Anyway, check the article out. It's like we have to relearn the lessons of history again and again and again. All right, also on the national front, MasterCard trying to crack down on conservative groups. This is a challenge to anybody out there listening to the show right now. I know there are people in the banking world that listen to this show. We need an alternative bank for Christians and patriots so that and processing too, by the way, so that we can get around this stuff and our businesses can continue to thrive. So I'm going to throw that out there as a challenge. Contact me on social media. Facebook Messenger is fine. Or you can just email me at matt@voteshay.com because I'm really not trusting Facebook anymore at all. All right, also on the regional front, the cost of the sanctuary state here in Washington, again, going unreported by the mainstream media, the effective coddling of criminals, some of whom are violent criminals, just is reprehensible. And lastly, on the local front, July 13th, so this coming Saturday, Rescuing Our Children event. It's going to be at Covenant Church. You're going to have Alex Newman speaking, among many other people. If you have the opportunity, make it there. It's a great time to network. I know it's summertime. Everybody wants to go to the beach. Look, it's 10 to 4:30 this Saturday at Covenant Church. Just take a little bit of time, especially if you've got kids in school, so you can help address what's coming at them and coming at you as parents this next year. Okay? So again, this Saturday, Rescuing Our Children event, you're going to have a lot of great activists there that are going to give real solutions to how to fight back. All right. That is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that's been praying for me and Victoria and for the show. And if you get a chance, go to Patriot Radio US and like the page on Facebook, share it with your friends and family. Also, you can go to voteshay.com and help keep us on the air. Remember, Patriot Radio is also on iTunes and Podbean. All right. Well, it's my pleasure to introduce one of my great friends, Reverend Matthew Cummings. He is a hero, and he's got quite a story to tell. Reverend Cummings, thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio today. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Well, I've been wanting to get you on for a little while, especially to tell your story. So tell the listeners a little bit about where you grew up and who tried to make friends with you when you were a young kid.
Sure. I'm from Ann Arbor, Michigan, and in 1968 was recruited by a group of educational majors at the University of Michigan who were starting out a new school. It was supposed to be revolutionary in every avenue as far as breaking new rules in the educational system. The recruit was Diane Auten, who was very, actually had the true gift. But her lover, who was my principal, was the infamous Bill Ayers. Yes, that's right. The head of SDS, Students for a Democrat Society, a communist who was trained under Saul Ulinsky, and also one who was the head of the Weatherman Underground. Bill Ayers was my principal in 1968 and was moving quickly to indoctrinate me in the socialist and communist way of thinking.
Well, let's talk about this. Tell the listeners how. What was their intent? How did it work? How did they pick you? And How did your wonderful mother fight back?
Well, you know, they were looking for, in particular, black. I happen to be of African descent originally. They were looking for minorities whom they could shape and mold, who came from poor backgrounds, whom they could take under their belt and indoctrinate them in the socialist agenda and move them forward in becoming instruments to see our constitutional republic brought down. The school itself, there was not the original teaching of arithmetic, writing, reading, you know, history. It was all about the state. There was a very much, there is no God, and therefore man is God. But even more, the state is God in itself. So everything revolved around the state. And all of that was taught back in 1968 at Children's Community School. In one of the sessions, after 6 months, I went and after being taught by Diane Auden, who was one of the principal teachers. Diane Auden had befriended my mom at the time. And I came home from one of her classes and said to my mom, guess what? Diane Auden has told me that I no longer have to listen to you. By the way, that didn't go over too well with my mother. She was livid. And, of course, I probably did it in a smart little boy's remark. So, by the way, brother, I needed a spanking. I knew it, how I said it. Because a spirit of rebellion had come from those teachings. But my mom got smart and prayed about it and grabbed a pen and paper and said, by the way, why don't you tell me, Matthew, what else they, you know, they're teaching? And so I gave up everything that was being said there. The scary thing is what was said back then in 1968 has been manifesting now. That's what's scary. Common Core. A generation that literally has been dumbed down in every aspect. Revisionist history. What I mean by revisionist is, you know, history. I mean, America is bad. It is not a Christian nation. And what I realized is that they were training me like a little Barack Obama.
Wow. So let's talk a little bit about that common core and some of the Marxist ideas that you were exposed to. If you could be a little bit specific, where were they? Were they really heading toward no property rights and abolishing Christianity and all that thing even back then?
Yes, because, well, first off, there was the initial statement of your parents are not in charge of you. We are in charge of you, but most importantly, the state is. And therefore, by telling us we no longer had to listen to our parents, then the first rule of order was that parental rights were gone. And that's one of the first things when you're looking to train a young generation to be indoctrinated is to remove the parents and their rights, but even more, their philosophy or even more, their religious or faith type ways of thinking. And so a lot of what was being taught back then was removing faith, because of course my mom was a Christian. Number two, removing the idea that God existed. Number three, removing the idea that America is good. And number four, what's even more scary, that the only way that America can become more like the world is to move towards a socialist way of thinking. In other words, dependency on the state itself.
And for folks that were growing up impoverished back in that day, why was that, to some anyway, such an attractive message, you know, as a kind of a, maybe a way out?
Well, they looked for specifically folks and people who appeared to be isolated. And For me, my mom and dad had divorced, and so they were looking for young children who did not have their father there, I would say. They were also and specifically introducing the idea that it's through the state that your way of life will be met financially, things of that nature. And so Diane Auten recruited, during 1968, I was the only black student. But the following year, in 69 and 70, it went from me being one black student, my mom pulled me out, but it went from one student to literally half the class was black, young black boys and girls, and most had no fathers during that time.
And that was pretty much an epidemic at that time. Is that what you're saying, at least in the place that you grew up?
Yeah. Number one, middle-class black families, the car industry in Detroit and Michigan, that area. There were lots of layoffs during the time, which brought stress on the family. And in a nutshell, what transpired is that when times got hard, of course, the family would seek the safety net, which is the welfare system. But the welfare system would always tell the black woman or anyone on welfare that as long as your father is there, you will not get the benefits that are needed. So there was a legitimate and in-your-face introduction of get rid of the father, and we will take care of you.
So as you came home and told your mom that, and then gradually over the next little while told your mom what they were teaching, how did she respond to all of this, and what ended up happening?
Well, again, as I said earlier, she was livid, but she got smart, wrote down all that was being said, began to call other parents that were in that class, and they compared notes. Through a 3 to 4 month period, upon gathering those notes and beginning to get certain parents on board on the same page, they eventually confronted Bill Ayers and the Children's Community School, the administration, about the radical teaching and not getting back to the basics, you know. And within those sessions, the administration was not repentant. They did not move off of their agenda. And therefore, of course, that's why I was eventually moved out. And several other parents moved their kids out as well.
It's absolutely fascinating that the right thing was done. Now, if you could, Bill Ayers also was involved with the Weather Underground. There were very overt plans, at least by the group, to kill millions of Americans that disagreed with them, try to foment revolution. Tell a little bit about what you know about Bill Ayers and what the listeners should know about him.
Well, his real agenda was to, this is kind of scary, Barack Obama had said it in 2008, fundamentally change America. That was back when I was a little kid hearing that. They were looking to change America to a communist way of thinking. Number one, they formulated small groups out of the Michigan and Midwest, which formulated sales. Does that sound familiar? Sale groups, not just the Midwest, but out in here in the West, in the East, and down in the South. And their purpose was to, because not only were they against America, but specifically against the American government, the work was real simple: to bomb federal installations and to bring a real revolution. And so there was bombings in New York, Philadelphia, in the D.C. area. If I may do a side note, years later, I was speaking out here in the Pacific Northwest in the Portland area to a group of Christians, pastors and some other people. Upon finishing about Bill Ayers and about the Weatherman Underground, two pastors in Portland, both who happened to be women who were twins, one of the twins literally got quiet, and God had reminded her that she was at school at Portland State in 1971, that the FBI came to her class and arrested her professor because he had helped in bombing a federal building in Portland's Seattle area.
Unreal.
So, there was that part. Then also, because it was the Vietnam War, many know this, but I'm just going over it from what I understood and what I heard. There was a real network to make sure that Weatherman Underground were hidden. When I mean hidden, I mean finances, housing, hidden houses, things of that nature. So whenever a bombing would take place, they literally had a plan to move their people out of harm's way so then the FBI and others could not find them.
That's incredible. That is incredible. And over the years, have you run into folks that you've grown up with, and how did folks that you grew up with turn out?
Well, that's interesting. Most those whom were moved out of that school system went into the Ann Arbor public schools. I'm not certain that that went too well, but hello. moved on and is now part of a society. But those who were subjects of Children's Community School went from 1968 to 73 or 74. And because of Bill Ayers' activity and everything, it eventually, Diane Otten, who was his main recruiter, died in the famous Greenwich Village bombing in 1970, which took two or three Weatherman Underground. The other thing, Diane Otten was not just my mom's friend. She babysitted me. She recruited me. You ready? She was one of the bomb makers for the Weatherman Underground.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, Satan's plan, if I may say it that way, was to literally turn me against America. But praise the Lord, God had something different.
Well, and that's where I think I'd like to go with this. So how did you come to a saving knowledge of Jesus? And I'd also like to have you comment on the state of our country today as well.
Well, came to the Lord, actually gave my life to the Lord in a evangelistic meeting and when I was 4 years old. But years later, what happened was that when I'm 21 at the University of Houston, down in Houston, Texas, a series of events took place, and the Lord of Hosts came into my room on the sixth floor of the dormitory. And there was just a phenomenal experience where I saw the risen Savior. I saw the marks in his arms and his feet. And I lay prostrate before the Lord, and God had promised that my life would never be the same. He's right. It hasn't. The Lord told me that things would go a certain way. He told me I would always be used, you ready, to hit the waves of persecution. By the way, no one wants to hear that. That's not a job offer that you want. Come on.
Right.
But the Lord said this in my room. There was power there. I was prostrate before the Lord, and God said I would see the world. And so from then I traveled and I saw great things in the Lord, began to minister. God opened up doors left, right, and center for a while. How all of my past came up was 2008, as the election was going on here in America. I was just about to go overseas. Bill Ayers stuff came up, and I started thinking about it. Well, okay, you know what, Lord, I'll do this trip, and we'll go on. Flew overseas. I was to be preaching in England, France, Switzerland, and I mean lots of meetings. I'm a Pentecostal preacher, so minister, as they say, in the power of the Spirit. And upon a third meeting in the middle of June in the middle of France, God, the Lord said, I need you to shut these meetings down and go home. Now, Matt, you know how it is. You're ministering. There are 200 or 300 people. People are all out in the Spirit. I'm preaching on the Mount of Transfiguration. And to make a long story short, God says, go home. Barack Obama's going to win. And he has an anti-God, anti-Christ spirit. And I want you to preach against him. And I went, oh, great. So you want me to preach against the first black president? Sorry, Bill Clinton's not the first black president. Barack Obama is. So,
well, go ahead.
To make the long story short, I'll cut it. I answered, and God said, go home because America's in trouble. And the reason why is because everything that you went through when you were a little kid is now about to manifest. And so when I came home and began to realize that the man that people were voting in was solely tied to Bill Ayers, I realized why I needed to step up. Anyway, I'll just leave it there. I didn't mean to keep going.
Well, and the rest, the rest is history. And I think that's where I would, why it's important to hear your testimony, but also the state of America today, the church in large part is asleep. And also, there is this kind of allowance, for the Marxists to divide us constantly over race or socioeconomic status, just continually divide us, or even among Christians. If you could comment on that, because I know you have a heart for that, and also for kind of just speaking straight to folks about, hey, let's not let the Marxists divide us.
Yeah, it is always the plan of socialism to use all of the illnesses of a nation to divide. And America right now needs voices that will speak truth, because it is divided, but even more, it needs the church to wake up from its slumber, wake up from its sleep. And what I believe is that true men and women of liberty must stand for Christ and take a stand and not be afraid of what will be a blowback or some kind of persecution, because it's only in truth that America will be saved. For me, I talk with many black, of course, Hispanic, and minorities. I speak with many people who happen to be of European descent, and everyone knows that there's a problem with communism. But they don't recognize that the common denominator is Christianity. And that if Christians stand up, America will be mended, because the Holy Spirit will come and touch hearts and minds.
Amen.
So the overall condition of the nation is we need God. And we need true calling for repentance. And we need people to not be afraid if people call you racist. So what? look, I'm arguing with a guy who's left, and I've told this story, and there are other people of all different who are conservative who've had people make these statements. I was talking with this socialist, and he happened to not be black, he was white, and we're going back and forth discussing the issues, and I was talking, basically saying, you know what, it's not just that Barack Obama is a communist, but he's anti-God, anti-Christ. And he shouted, Brother Matt, you racist!
What was your reaction to that?
And I looked at him, and I mean, just looked at him, and I said, you want to rethink what you just said to me? And he kind of caught himself, because what? That is what? Drone into every socialist and communist. You're a racist, you're a homophobic, you're this, you're that. That is part of the brainwashing. When they can't win an argument, they always go to you're racist or you're homophobic or you're something else. And when that is said, God expects people of liberty to say, first off, I'm not. Number two, you will not intimidate me. Number three, repent.
Amen. And that's what we have to be, bold and fierce on these issues so that there isn't this allowance for division in the church. It is. It's about Jesus. It's not about all these things we can make ourselves different about. It's about Jesus Christ, Him crucified, and Holy Spirit working through us. I want to, while we only have a couple minutes left, I want to touch on August 17th up in Marble, Washington at 10 o'clock to 3. You're going to have a gathering there. It's going to be a fundraiser for you. But also Tom DeWeese is going to be there talking about property rights as well. If you could tell the listeners a little bit about that.
Yeah, we are so honored to have Tom DeWeese coming all the way from Virginia to Stevens County. Stevens County itself got these little, what you would call cards all over the county about land management and things of that nature. And so the timing of Tom DeWeese coming is right on time to educate people about property rights, educate people about sustainability, and that it's evil, not just environmentalists, but everything about it is just not American, you know. So we're very pleased to have him. We're also pleased to have Dan Happel come alongside as well and help us in this. And it's called What is the Relevance of Truth in Stevens County? Everyone that's listening, please come and hear Tom DeWeese and Dan Happel. And I promise you, you'll get a better understanding of where America is right now and why in this particular state in the Inland Northwest, that what's happening from Olympia is so evil and wicked, and that they want to take your property rights, they want to take your liberty. Please come and hear these men and be inspired and have fellowship as well.
Yeah, because of course there's going to be a barbecue. So I love that, actually. That's one of the great reasons, we should be outside and doing fellowship. We should never be afraid of fellowship. Well, if people want to actually maybe RSVP for this, do they send you an email? How do they get a hold of you so that you know they're coming?
Yeah, you can go ahead on our RSVP through my phone right now. It's 360-784-1695. And I'll make sure, Matt, that you get more information soon as far as how to RSVP for this event.
Awesome. I'll make sure to get it up there on Facebook as well. Reverend Cummings, I just appreciate you. I appreciate your voice. I appreciate your boldness in the Lord. Any final comments in the last 30 seconds to especially the millennial generation?
Yes, actually, quickly. Go back to the foundations of what our nation was built on. Don't live in the revisionist history. Go back to the foundations. what our founding fathers had in mind for this great nation is the only true foundation that we need right now. That's all I can say.
Amen. Reverend Matthew Cummings, thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio today, and I just appreciate everything you're doing. Keep up the fight.
Thanks.
All right, and remember, August 17th, Marble, Washington, 10 to 3, Tom DeWeese, Dan Happel, Reverend Cummings, and myself, we're all going to be up there. It's going to be a great time of fellowship, but also you can learn about how they are trying to steal your property rights and what you can do to fight back. Tom DeWeese, really the foremost expert in the country on this, has organized people everywhere, and it'll be a great time of fellowship as well, especially barbecuing up in God's country. I love it. All right. I do want to remind you again, this weekend, Alex Newman is going to be at Covenant Church on Saturday. You can find it on Eventbrite right now, Rescuing Our Children event, especially for parents, people that have kept your kids in public school, that want to know how to fight back and assert your rights and protect your kids against the indoctrination that is becoming so pervasive in the public schools. And also how other things are influencing our kids, and not just in school, but in other activities and organizations outside of school. These are the experts, not just in the country, but also in Washington State as well. These are tried and proven activists that are going to be there, like Glenn Morgan and Jacqueline Gallion. So you can learn everything from vaccines to opting out of sex ed, what to do if you're facing this, how to assert your rights, how to protect your children. So again, that's coming this Saturday. I really appreciate all of the well wishes recently. And thank you, everybody out there, for joining me on Patriot Radio once again. This is Matt Shea. May God bless all of you, and may he truly make this generation the greatest one.